Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Elizabeth Esty, talk to me about gun control. Connecticut has been a place that has suffered great tragedy. And I wonder if you think there's any progress being made.
Well, I'll tell you, I think there is progress being made at the state level. We certainly saw that. New York and Colorado and the great state of Connecticut, who passed comprehensive, all those states and a number of states have passed comprehensive important efforts. But I continue to be quite frustrated with the lack of progress we've had on the federal level.
So is the gun culture in this country just so overwhelming, as you know, people don't want to get out of their cars, they don't want to give up their guns? Is this something that enough politicians will ever say, considering re-election, we should, go for?
Well, I'll tell you, I think that what has changed since Newtown in the last 15 months is a groundswell of public support for sensible change. And I think there is nothing more clearly sensible than the bill I'm a co-sponsor of that have been helped leading the charge, the King-Thompson bill for comprehensive background checks. This is something that we know works. It is the number one request of police officers and law enforcement officers to keep their own law enforcement officials safe. We need to have federal legislation that makes it a federal crime to traffic in guns. It might shock you, it certainly shocked me when I started working on this issue, that it is not a violation of federal law to traffic in guns.
Mm.
Now, that means you don't have the resources that you need to help support state and local governments that are trying to stop the flow of illegal weapons into our cities. So it's not simply a question about these horrible incidents we've had in schools, way too many since Newtown. We've continued to have shootings at schools across America. In shopping malls and schools, it should not matter whether you've gone out to shop, sitting in a classroom, walking down the street, or sitting in a park in one of America's great cities. You should be safe, and you should not worry about being shot. And that should be an American value, to protect our children, to protect our parents, to protect our spouses. And the American people get this. The American people get this. Members of Congress don't seem to, and I don't think it's not law-abiding gun owners who are objecting. It is a small subset who are extremely vocal, and frankly, a lot of that is stoked by the financial support of those who are selling certain kinds of weapons, who do not want to see the numbers of those sales drop.
There are
sizable economic interests at stake, and that is part of what we are seeing driving the political discussion in Washington.
Very frustrating.
Very frustrating. Very frustrating. But remember again, before you get too discouraged, think about, the amount of time it took from the assassination attempt on President Reagan until you had the assault weapons ban. Mm. The assault weapons ban was not passed until 1996.
Mm-hmm.
Over 10 years. So these things take time. I expect it will take time. But I also look at, there are tipping points out there, and if you look at the change in this country's attitudes towards same-sex marriage and gay rights, something that I've been following closely with a brother who is gay and who came out in 1978, the dramatic change in my lifetime over that issue, the generational change, is unbelievable. And for my children, who are 24, 21, and 18, they view discrimination against same-sex couples the way you and I would think of racism.
Sure.
Unacceptable, bizarre, immoral. So, and I think there is a generational shift. I think it will, in part, probably take some generational shift in this country about what a safe gun culture means and what it means to both protect the Second Amendment, which is part of our Constitution and part of our culture. But that should not mean that we can't have safer cities, safer classrooms, safer streets.
We can only hope. Let me go, while we have some time left here, to immigration reform. I know this is something you're vitally concerned about, and I wondered whether we're going to see anything.
Well, I'll tell you, we absolutely should see something. We should. And just this week, the Congressional Budget Office has added its voice to the call of the broad business community. And I would say that business community is everything from agricultural interests like those who grow poinsettias and mums in my town of Cheshire, where we have greenhouses for bedding plants, all the way up through the major high-tech companies in America who have been crying out for a comprehensive immigration reform, in addition to those who, you know, the estimated 11 million undocumented workers, calls from the religious community across the board for this as both an economic and a moral imperative.
And it's not always a Democratic or Republican issue.
It shouldn't be. Yeah. It shouldn't be. I mean, if you want to see job growth in this country, this is the number one issue that we can and should be doing. This was something that has been raised over and over again. It was something that Bill Gates raised at a bipartisan dinner last week that I was at. It was something that I think you and I had mentioned that Steve Case, founder of AOL, raised with a bipartisan group of freshman members of Congress when he met with us a couple of months ago. I hear about it all the time. I hear about it from high-tech companies who are saying, what is the craziness of a country that has the best higher ed in the world? We bring the best and brightest from around the country, and we do not allow folks who come here from other parts of the world who want to make their homes and start their businesses in America, we don't allow them to do that. And that is a crazy policy.
I know that we've been talking in the past about, you know, different issues. You're somewhat of an expert on e-cigarettes. Many of us are confused as to whether they're unhealthy or not. What do you got to teach us here?
Well, I am going to be helping to lead the charge on the House side to join Senator Blumenthal, Senator Durbin from Illinois, and Boxer from California on pushing for a ban on sale of e-cigarettes to children.
Are they dangerous?
They are dangerous. Nicotine is a very powerful addictive drug.
So e-cigarettes eliminates some of the things, but still has nicotine in it.
It has nicotine. It is a nicotine delivery device. That's the way to think of it. It is a nicotine delivery device.
So then why should we ban it for everybody?
It should clearly be regulated. It should absolutely clearly be regulated. But at the very least, we should start with the most important element, is that we know that with the development of children's brains, that things that have addictive properties like nicotine and alcohol should not be, that children's brains should not be exposed to these products. That is why we banned sale of cigarettes to minors, and actually, you know, very early on. And we absolutely should be doing that right now. The companies that are marketing e-cigarettes are making them in fruit flavors, bubblegum flavors. Mm. This is totally designed. You cannot tell me that the 45-year-old truck driver who's trying to break his habit on smoking is smoking, you know, a bubblegum-flavored e-cigarette.
Yeah.
That is simply not true. This is a blatant attempt on the part of the industry to get our children addicted, and we should stand up and oppose it. And one way to do that is by prohibiting the sale of these drugs to children.
Are there lobbyists who are out there pushing them?
Of course there are.
Yeah.
Of course, there's money to be made, right?
Of course, there are,
and we can't let them win. We can't let them win this. And when people need to understand that this is a blatant attempt to addict our children so that they will be lifelong users of nicotine, and there is no way in the world we should support that. No way in the world that we should support that. So the bill that we are working on, both the Senate and the House, would prohibit the marketing and sale of them to children. And that's going through the Federal Trade Commission. Obviously, there are a separate and important set of issues through the Food and Drug Administration about regulation of the sale of them to anybody. You know, what is the content? What are actually the health risks, not just nicotine, but by the heating of these elements, which I've been doing some reading that there's some serious question about the materials that are used. A lot of them are made in China. China does not have a good track record about the purity of its products, shall we say. So there is concern about, even for those who are using e-cigarettes as a way to reduce their dependence on nicotine and to not be exposing themselves to the smoke aspect, there are still really serious questions about the safety of anybody who's even using them to diminish their exposure. But our bill is really focused on the sale to minors, because we know when children get addicted early, whether it's to alcohol, but particularly to nicotine, is highly addictive. And we should not be having our children lured in by a promise of somehow this is safe. It is not safe. It is a drug. It is a powerful drug. It will reform their brains, and it will addict them in ways that we should not allow.
Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty, always articulate and knowledgeable, and we thank you so much for being with us. You've got a lot of problems on your plate. Good luck with them, Congresswoman.
Well, thank you so much. Always a great pleasure, and please don't hesitate to give a call. Lots of important issues
we will keep
progress
on. We'll keep up with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Alan.